Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Let us listen for the word of God. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But rest the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land, and that your Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we recognize those as the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. We hear now the gospel reading according to the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Let us listen to the word of God. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There in the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their temples. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And then the Jews said to Jesus, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "Well, this temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of the body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it must have really been something to see. With the crack of a whip, Jesus chased merchants from the temple. He drove out the oxen, the cattle, scattered the sheep. He turned the tables on the money exchangers. And the noise, just think of the noise of those coins rolling across the floor. And there were the merchants who were barking their ways and bartering for better prices. But the one thing that Jesus did not see was any semblance of the temple. Temples, no matter what faith, are to provide a means and a place where people may come into contact with God. a place where people go to give thanks to God for all of the blessings that were received, or to seek forgiveness of sin, to hear God's word and find guidance in their lives. And here, that mission has become obscured. I think Jesus was really looking forward to go to Jerusalem for the Passover, for people would come from all over the world to be there. It was always a kind of exciting time. But when he arrived at the temple, he was upset, you see, by what he saw, or enraged, maybe more true. For he went looking for a house of prayer, a place that's where God would live. But that seemed to be in short supply. And all of the craziness that was going on was a distraction. And Jesus went ballistic. Interestingly, this is one of the few stories that's found in all four of the Gospels, which I think testifies to the significance of the event. However, Matthew, Mark, and Luke really put it at the end of the gospel. Context of Holy Week and crucifixion. It was really after all of the religious leaders have entrapped him, which would have been a good reason for Jesus to be angry. But John, you see, puts it right up front. It's only the introduction of John the Baptizer and the wedding at Cana that comes before this story. This clash between Jesus and the values of the religious establishment. A clash that would sort of weave in and out of the gospel, and as we know, would end with Jesus on the cross. This story comes in Lent, the time in the church year when we focus on setting priorities, gaining some kind of clarity and direction on what really matters in our Christian journeys. Just as distracted driving can lead to an accident, distractive discipleship can lead us into dangerous territory. You see, I think we can be so busy and preoccupied with sort of saving the temple or the institution of the church and what it's supposed to be about that we sometimes lose direction. It's why one of the prayers of the church is give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Because without any clarity of mission, why and for what purpose we exist, we can find ourselves looking and sometimes listening to all of the wrong things. Distractions may serve our need to feel useful, but may not serve any useful purpose or very little purpose. You know, we may find ourselves looking backward, wanting to be safe, but Jesus always says the future is looking forward into new ministries. Now, Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a merchant who stumbles upon the pearl of great price, or it's like leaven in the bread, or a seed with the hidden potential to grow into something significant. And yet it can all be very elusive, because the work of love and justice and forgiveness and reconciliation, it's always so much harder to discern, much less to proclaim and implement. So to be sure, when Jesus entered the temple cracking the whip and causing mayhem, he didn't much look like the images of the Jesus we had growing up in Sunday school. Or we see with the lamb or with the children in our windows, one gently knocking on the door, the good shepherd, how nice and sweet and docile and yet one in touch and in tune with God. But I think to be sure, his anger had a purpose. And I think Jesus wants us to focus on what really matters, what it is that draws people closer to God, drawing us even closer to all of our neighbors, those which Jesus defined as the outcast or the stranger at our door, the ones we may question if they really are a child of God. You see, this is really the hard work that Jesus says the church should be about. And Jesus put himself on the line, and as we know, it led to the cross. And we can appreciate the response Jesus gives to the temple leaders when they ask him, by what authority did he do what he did? And he points out his own body. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be raised up. The new temple, when raised, will draw all of us to it. And he says, this is my body, which I offer to you and to many, to give freedom, freedom to all humanity. That this Jesus is alive, and the one thing he comes to do is to always bring people into the holy presence of God. Now, you may find him flipping over the tables of your life, and you may say, what gives you the right to change my life? But the sign that he will give to you is the sign he has always offered. Instead of a soft, cozy, convenient religion, he comes to offer himself. And he says, this is my body broken for you, given for you. Remember me when you gather for worship. Amen.